Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 4th of May, recording at, it's only 5:10 p.m. That's British Summer Time. I do have a function, so I hope you don't mind. But I've certainly seen enough to be able to provide the coverage, but first a quick review of the week before I give the long-term forecast outlook as I see it. Now, this week has been extremely interesting for global stock markets because they have, many of them at any rate, have completed consolidations and broken out on the upside. Some of the Asian front runners, such as KL and Singapore, have done that. South Korea has done that. China, of course, has been closed this week. But in the European markets, we've seen some very impressive upside dynamics, breakouts. Germany, not least the UK, very powerful performance over the last couple of days. And Wall Street, very much in form here. So all the important global uptrends are being, well, most of them, I should say, are being reaffirmed here, and importantly, nothing is really heading south. Markets that had underperformed a little recently, such as Taiwan, that's turned around and pushed up. In Europe, the Spanish IBEX, with all those concerns over the property market, but that seems to be to have checked the decline for at least the short term in here. And I forgot to mention one of the others that is so often a leader, Australia, has powered into new high ground as well. So this is the review. So I'll come back to these. Now, government bonds. Government bond prices for the UK gilts, for the euro bunds, had retested their lows. It was a bit of a window ledge, as in standing in the window ledge number, or standing on the window ledge, I should say, number, but they have firmed up a bit in here today, a little bit of respite. The U.S. bonds are holding quietly at the moment, and the JGBs have perhaps been the firmest of all. Australian bonds rallied a little bit as well. Now, that's bond prices. More about that in a moment. Sticking with the review here, oil very much consolidating with a sort of arranging slight downward bias in this pattern, and that's continued today, 62.56 as I speak. The more interesting one is natural gas, which is testing the psychological $8 level once again. That's clearly firmer. And gasoline, well, it's down a little bit today, but it's been awfully firm overall, but couldn't hold today's highs. Now, bigger news here is coming from the metal sector. First, the industrial metals are absolutely rampant, and nickel, which has been not surprisingly, backing away repeatedly from the $50,000 level. That's the LME price. Imagine a $50,000 level, and it's been doing that for over a month. Has blasted through in here today. Currently, $51,600 on the third month price. Still in backwardation, of course. Tin, lead, these are all very, very strong. Zinc, which had lagged, has been putting in some stellar performances recently and is on a catch-up move. And copper, which has been just a dream technical play and went into a consolidation pattern, has broken up out of that once again. So, as I said, this industrial metal sector remains absolutely rampant. Precious metals, I reviewed them yesterday in comment of the day, and they looked to have bottomed, and they're getting upside follow-through in here today, helped by a bit more weakness in the U.S. dollar. But the precious metals had been easing, unlike the industrial metals, which were rock steady. And precious metals, again, yesterday, good moves upwards, breaking short-term downtrends and follow-through on the upside in here today. Among the currencies, the dollar had seen a little bit of a rally, but is softer in here today. And the yen's been weakest of all, but a tad firmer here today against the U.S. dollar. I notice in soft commodities that coffee, which has been weak recently, that's got quite a good rally going here today. Sugar is also extending a rally, and in the softs are they're quiet. In here, overall, corn has been showing the best performance, whereas previously wheat had done so, and corn's taken over the leadership here recently. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Mining shares, gangbusters, going gangbusters in here today. Okay. Now, so where are you, what's going on, and so forth? Well, I've posted a couple of interesting charts here that we've just recently added to the library, showing short interest on the New York Stock Exchange, and had been rising quite sharply. This is data that is produced weekly, and it'll be interesting to see as the data comes through. Again, today you'll be able to look at those charts over the weekend and see it. It's in the North American indices section. And that strong short interest suggests that we may be seeing a bit of a bear squeeze in here. As we know, there was a lot of nervousness. Some very high-profile commentators have been issuing repeated warnings, and they've really been doing that since last autumn, and they had, at least the ones I've seen and have talked about, and where I've posted reports and comments, because we like to present both views if they're intelligently written, and they are. And the bearish commentary from these quarters actually became even more emphatic following the February, early March sell-off. Well, you know what markets are doing. The uptrends are being reaffirmed overall. So it does look, as I said, like a combination of some short covering, plus some people who were standing on the sidelines and had more liquidity than they wanted, and in against the background of a rising market at any rate, are piling back in. And my view, as it's been for a very long time, number of months here, is that the downside risk is limited to these reactions and consolidations, such as we saw late February and early March, although I expect the next one to be shallower. And it may not be shallower, but I expect it to be less steep. That was a meltdown triggered by China's 9% fall. So I would expect them to be slower and involve more ranging overall. Now, if markets continue to run up for another few weeks at the rate that they've run up over the last 5 or 6 weeks, then we'll get very overextended in terms of the 200-day moving averages best seen on the weekly charts, and that will set conditions up for possibly a medium-term correction, or certainly a larger reaction overall. But right now, this is a case of make hay while the sun shines, and the performance is impressive, needless to say. Now, canaries in the coal mine. Bank shares have been lagging. If they don't follow to new high ground, during this rally, then that will be an important warning. So we need to look at those bank share indices. The serious deterioration would be if they break the reaction lows that we saw a few weeks ago for those bank indices. They're all in the library, of course. And the government bond yields, they're one of the most important, certainly an inflation indicator. And if they go on rising, then that will create a headwind for global stock markets. But they're not causing a problem at the moment. It's a problem deferred at this stage still. And the crude oil price, that's benign here right now because it's backed away from the upper $60 region and moved back into the lower $60 region. So there's nothing on the horizon that suggests an imminent meltdown of the type that the bearish analysts that I was talking about have been forecasting. We do want to watch China very closely. I've said that China is probably an important bellwether now, and it certainly proved that to be the case in February, end of February, and also again in April. And China has been closed but reopens on Monday. We, incidentally, are closed on Monday, bank holiday in the UK and Ireland. But China, if China just consolidates in a relatively tight range, let alone move higher, that will be favorable for other global stock markets, clearly. Conversely, another downward dynamic by China would unsettle nerves a bit. So we want to keep a close eye on that as one of the important lead indicators and canaries in the mine as I refer to these factors. U.S. dollar, that is quiet at the moment. It's soft overall, but quiet, as long as that's not going into free fall. And I don't really expect it to, although anything's possible in markets. But if it were to go into free fall, that would create a crisis mentality in the markets, and that would be bad for stock markets. So the point is, bottom line here, that the factors that would concern me the most, that are knowable, things that we can monitor, are not alarming at the moment. Thus, markets are able to run here on the upside for a while longer. Okay, and lastly, of course, there's always the possibility of exogenous shocks, but none of us can forecast those, or I'm certainly not in the business of forecasting exogenous shocks. So unless one occurs, and it would have to be pretty important, markets can move a bit higher in here overall. What else to mention? In terms of global stock markets, the performance by these mining shares is just really powerful right now. And we've seen the potential developing in the buildup of those very big consolidation patterns during the medium-term consolidations. And they got another surge in here today with the help of a report from Merrill Lynch saying that private equity people may soon look at companies such as BHP and Rio. Well, my feeling is this is probably speculation on their part, but stranger things have happened. Certainly the sector is very attractive fundamentally, in my view, and technically it is very much in form once again, and I think there are big gains to come from that sector. In terms of the longer term outlook, my best guess is that we ought to be able to avoid a bear market until 2009, 2010 at the earliest. But more importantly, since that's only a guess, we just monitor events as they occur, as we've been doing all along, and we should see the warning signs. for not only a bear market when that eventually beckons, but also for some of the bigger reactions, hopefully, and also for the next medium-term correction, whenever that occurs. I don't think it's imminent. And looking, moving on to the government bonds. Well, I just stick with those global stock markets. In terms of my big themes, certainly the industrial resources, and the great stories in industrial resources. Well, the big story concerns the industrial miners. They are really at the top, and I'll include the uranium group, of course, in there. That is an industrial metal. So, oil and the synthetics, so on, these are all interesting, but the pick of the bunch here is the industrial miners. And uranium, incidentally, in our view, remains by far the best of the energy stories overall. The rest of the energy story is promising for the bulls, and that's from crude oil, the oil producers, right on through to the synthetic areas. Then the Asian growth story is my favorite, closely followed by the commodity producing developing economies, and I think they will continue to outperform developed country markets as long as this global stock market trend, which is a bit long in the tooth, but as we've just been discussing, still in form, as long as it continues. Okay, moving on to the long-dated government bonds. This is a secular bear market underway that will surprise some of the newer subscribers in hearing that. It's well supported by the charts. I maintain that the bull market in government bond prices ended in June 2003, and everything else that we have seen in terms of price action is a very gradual, predictably gradual, and extensive, slowly topping out process. In other words, long-dated government bond yields, you can see all this in the chart library, show these big ranging developing bases overall. Now, they are still in those bases, within those bases, and may well extend these patterns for a while longer. Certainly, the soft U.S. economy is helping in that respect. But remember, people have been in the mindset for so long. You know the old view, that the old adage that we've heard for so many decades. The USA catches, or sorry, beg your pardon, that the USA sneezes and the rest of the world catches a cold. Well, that's no longer true, as I have been saying in a number of different ways and repeatedly, and the adage has been replaced by the quip, the US sneezes and the rest of the world, or catches a cold, and the rest of the world goes shopping. And so it's really Asia that is leading the growth stakes. The world is no longer dependent on the USA to be the engine for global GDP growth. Obviously, the US economy remains hugely important, but the point I'm making is that it can underperform, and it certainly is, without that being a big problem for the rest of the world. Meanwhile, although the US economy is underperforming, we still have a global economy that is synchronized in a period of GDP expansion. And that is causing a buildup of inflationary pressures very gradually and not in a linear fashion. It's choppy, erratic. And all the disinflation and deflation fighting that took place and all the pumping in of liquidity by central banks really to keep their currencies from appreciating. And to in hopes of making themselves more competitive in the era of globalization, leads to those inevitable buildup of inflationary pressures that I've been talking about for a very, very long time. but they are not so great as to cause panic in the government bond markets just yet. If that just yet is, well, or if that, I put it this way, if the next significant upward move in yields is long delayed, and it may be, when I say long delayed, where I'm talking about at least a few months and quite possibly longer, that will be good for stock markets overall, and bond holders will not come to any great grief, although I certainly expect them to underperform equities. But at some stage, we will see those yields push higher. And therefore, I do continue to regard the long-dated end of the market as dangerous. And the main exceptions to that will be when we get medium-term corrections or that bear market at some future stage in equities. When we get medium-term corrections in stock markets and when we get a bear market, obviously the long-dated sector of government bonds will most likely do quite well during that period, but only for a medium-term technical rally before it is likely to deteriorate once again. Okay, elsewhere, among currencies, we've got two weak currencies, it's the yen and the dollar. You know the reasons. I don't need to really review them, but suffice it to say that the Japanese are happy for the yen to stay relatively soft. The U.S. is certainly happy for the dollar to remain relatively soft, and I do not expect any big deviation from those trends. Both currencies are maybe a little oversold in the short term, but I don't think they can see more than short-term technical rallies overall. I think that will continue to be the big story going forward, that we won't see a collapse of the dollar or the yen, but that they will remain generally soft. The currencies with the most long-term upside potential, very long-term upside potential, I believe, are the Asian currencies, but it's going to be a very gradual process here overall, because these countries do not want rapidly appreciating currencies. They're all watching the Chinese yuan, and that is only, that's of course being managed, and it's only going to appreciate at a very slow rate. And the rest of the Asian countries will be particularly concerned not to see their own currencies appreciating at a faster rate than the Chinese renminbi. In terms of precious metals, they are still in a very lengthy consolidation phase. Platinum will be leading the way up out of that. It's very close to leading the way up out of that consolidation phase once again, because it has a lot of industrial uses, as you know, and palladium may well follow that lead. Gold and silver are more investment currencies, with gold being sort of, I beg your pardon, with silver being a high beta version of gold. And they are facing headwinds in terms of rising interest rates in a number of countries, although we've probably seen most of the rise in those interest rates, as has been announced by, well, Australia. Australia is backing away. They don't want their currency kited skywards any further. So I think that, you know, another hike or two in Europe for the euro, maybe one more hike for the UK, and that'll be pretty much it. And when investors next feel that we're going to see some actual easing in those rates overall, I think that will reignite the gold market, and it's likely to be pretty steady before then. Gold to me and all these precious metals are good value and have outstanding long-term potential. They're tricky to play, best purchased following the scary shakeouts, which we get quite frequently. But as I already said, two good days in here, and they look to me like they're on the way back up, and will take out last month's highs and eventually move a lot higher over the long term. So I do want to be represented in that sector. The only exceptions being I hope to avoid most of the downward drops. We've had a little downward drop over the previous 2 weeks up until yesterday, and even that is painful. If you're long, as I have been, as I remain. Now, but again, the big play is on the upside now. And if you look at that silver chart, it's quite noticeable that silver, although it fell just over a dollar, 14 down to 13, that it fell considerably more slowly than it had previously, and it didn't fall so far. So that's another suggestion to me that we're in the latter stages of this consolidation and that the next big move will be upwards. Industrial metals going gangbusters in here. So much demand here, and that demand is going to just continue for years, punctuated by a global recession at some point. I'm certainly not going to try to predict that. I certainly don't expect that before 2010 at the very earliest, and there's and it may well take longer, but this infrastructure development is just going to continue for decades, and then provided we get continued GDP growth during that period, and I certainly believe we will. We will see consumer demand increasing as well, and more consumer spending coming from these developing countries, and that also is increasing demand for metals, and supply is slow to catch up, as we've seen all along during this process. What else to mention? The agricultural commodities, it's all down to the weather. Read the Browning report. It does look that I posted yesterday. It does look as if we're going to see some weather turbulence. So they haven't performed very well recently, those agricultural commodities. But global stockpiles are low or coming down in most instances. But that's at least partially in the market, and some supply problems are necessary to really push these. Push these markets up. And I think that's pretty much it, folks. So I will just say again, the next audio will be on Tuesday because of the bank holiday. And so I will just wish you a very, very good weekend. All the best.